Welcome back to Digesting Dark, where we are tackling Netflix's series Dark one episode at a time, rewatching the episodes from season one and season two as we head into the premiere of Dark season three. For this episode, we are tackling the first episode of Dark, the pilot episode titled Secrets. And we are going to talk all about that. This podcast will be a little bit different than the rest of the podcast will do, because this one, for anybody who has just watched the first episode only, we will talk early on about this episode from a non-spoiler perspective, just from what happened in this episode. And then we will let people know when we start getting into a discussion, which is a free-for-all, based on where we end up at the end of season two of Dark. But if you are a new Dark watcher, welcome. Welcome to this podcast. My name is Zach Brooks. I am joined by the Mickle to my Magnus, Aaron Brooks. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I don't think I've heard you say my full name too many times in my entire life, so that was weird.
But, well, it's, you know, it's, you got to let people know who's talking. Yes.
We are brothers, and this is a podcast about not so much brothers, but family. Yeah. Brothers in a way, though. Maybe
it's lots of. I mean, there are lots of brothers. Even in this first episode, we're introduced to a family with two brothers, and we get references to some other brothers as well. So, have you worn your best skeleton costume for this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. I took off the hood.
But, good. And I was thinking I was going to open this podcast and say that we were giving each other ultimate fist bumps. Because I always remember whenever I watch this episode, I always laugh at Ultimate Fist Bump in German is Ultimate Fist Bump.
Yeah, Ultimate Fist Bump.
Yes. So, yes, this podcast series, we will be going episode by episode into Netflix's series Dark. In most episodes, other than this one, we will be just diving in and talking about it from a full you have watched this show perspective. But we did want to give an on-ramp for anybody who's a new viewer to Dark. Just one recap of the pilot if they just watch that, so that they then can go and watch everything else. After this episode, if you're a new viewer of Dark, you are on your own. We will not be doing podcasts that will be good for you, so do not listen to the rest of them until you've watched the whole series. But you definitely can reach out to us as you're watching Dark, and we're happy to answer any questions and guide you through your path. I know we've both done that for friends that like this show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you missed our pilot episode of this podcast, you can listen to that. That is an intro into what the structure of this podcast is going to be, and also just a discussion about why everybody should be watching Dark, because it's both of our favorite shows on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So, do you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I definitely agree.
It was a muffled.
Did not come through. Sorry. No.
Mm-hmm. Yes, nodding on an audio medium doesn't always work that well.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows overall ever. So just saying on Netflix, I was waiting for you to add, you know, the preface, you know, not just Netflix, but yes, definitely on Netflix.
Yeah, show. Definitely one of my top ever, and very high up there. And we will see how they land for season three, which starts a little under a month. That starts on June 27th. So that's why we're doing this podcast. We are doing 18 podcasts in a little less than 30 days to get everybody ready for season three. All right.
Looking forward to it.
So let's start talking about this episode. Again, this will be, we will start this discussion with a non-spoiled perspective. So we'll just talk about what happened in this one episode. And it will be hard for us to dodge landmines of things that happen later, but we will, we are going to stay diligent to make sure that we do not give anything away if you are a new viewer. Then we will announce when we start on the spoilers. Everybody's a new viewer should turn this podcast off. Everybody else can listen on as we talk about the overall perspective and big picture of Dark. Yeah. So I think the easiest way to tackle this, because this show has so many characters, but they are all kind of split into those couple families, is just to go through each family and what happens with each family in this this episode. And then, and then we can kind of give observations along the way. So,
that works.
All right. So I think we've got to start with the Conwald family, because that is where we open the episode. Yep. We open the episode. I kind of forgot this was how the whole series opens. Well, I guess we do open with like a character map, which is what we said. Everybody should start a character map. Yeah. But we don't have much context around what that is. We just see that it's pictures of different characters on this podcast, or on this pictures of different characters on this show. And we see lines connecting them, but
I think even early on, I mean, you can deduce that it's some kind of time travel because of the order of the pictures and the appearance, you know, or some family, something, you know, there's pretty early clues, maybe not from the first scene, but.
Yeah, and I do think the narration on that even says something along the lines of, you know, today and tomorrow don't necessarily follow each other.
Yeah, that's right.
The time is not linear. So we do get, I was a little worried that we said this show's about time travel on the first episode, but we do get clues to time travel very early on in the very first open.
Even as the quote right by Albert Einstein right off the beginning, where it says the difference between the past and the present is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, pretty early on, you're knowing that time is a subject that's going to come up on this show.
That's interesting that they say past and present is an illusion, because later on in the episode, we do have Jonas talk about how his father always used to say good and evil are a matter of perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's almost kind of a different way of stating that. So those quotes kind of go together.
Yeah.
So then we open on June 21st, 2019. So this show came out in 2018. So this actually was taking place in the future when the show originally debuted. But now, obviously, that's the past. And we see Michael Conwald. He is in his attic, and he we see him hang himself and leaving a note. And we also, we see as the shot pulls, we're not quite sure who this man is, but we do see a family picture of him with a couple of the other characters that we'll meet very shortly. Jonas and Hannah as well. And that's his family. So we do see that family photo.
Yeah.
I forgot that we start the show after that cold open with the death of Michael, with him committing suicide.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty in the pretty dark opening.
Dark. Fits the name. Yeah. It's dark visually as well. There's not very much light in the attic, and we don't know why Michael is killing himself. We don't know what is in this letter that he wrote, but it does say, do not open until November 4th at 10 PM. And we're going to see that letter a couple times throughout this episode until it's actually, you know, since we do go, we flash forward to November 4th. And when we're on November 4th, eventually the episode will end with that letter being opened, but we aren't privy to what the contents of the letter are.
Yep.
So, and then we also meet Michael's son, Jonas. And Jonas is a high school student. He is dealing with the aftermath of his father committing suicide. And we do get some references that Jonas was hospitalized for a little bit, dealing with some mental health issues around his father dying.
Yep. Yeah, he takes medication right as he wakes up at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Takes some sort of pill as he wakes up from, some sort of nightmare.
And he has a nightmare, and, you know, he's adjusting back to life in his community. It seems something I never picked up the first time I watched this is that November 4th, 2019 is the first day of school for everybody.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of strange, but yeah.
I don't know if that's maybe the German school system, they start school in November. I just always assumed like he was returning to school, but everybody else had been in school this whole time without him. But no, this is actually everybody's going back for the first day of school.
Yeah, maybe it's the first day. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe I don't even know.
Yeah.
But either way, like, definitely everybody's looking at Jonas.
Mm-hmm.
And
they know he's been gone for a while. And he says his cover story was that he was studying in France.
Well, that was Bartos. That's what Bartos said he told people.
Right.
He was in France hiding the baguette. But I think as we see kind of later on when we see who Bartos is with, that maybe part of the reason that Bartos wanted the image that Jonas was out meandering with other women was, you know, to get his shot with Martha.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I just thought Bartos was being a good friend and at least trying to have the cover of being a good friend by saying, oh, yeah, I told everybody you were in France. No worries, man. But
didn't seem like anybody believed him.
No, it seems like people know. I mean, and like everybody knows Jonas's father killed himself just a few months before as well.
True.
So, we follow, you know, following Jonas throughout this day, you know, we see Jonas interacting with other students in the school. He does have this friend, Bartos, who, you know, we're led to believe was a good friend of his before he left. And there seems to be a love triangle between Bartos and Martha. Martha is one of the members of the Nielsen family. Mm-hmm. So, and we see this group, you know, I think the rest of the story for Jonas this episode, we do see him early on walking with his psychologist, just giving an update about where he is and his group therapy sessions. Mm-hmm. But then later on in the evening, the group of teenagers, which is Jonas, Bartosz, Magnus, and Martha, and Mikkel tags along as well, go to the caves, and that's really where kind of the action in the episode takes place. Mm-hmm. So they go to this cave area, which clearly this cave is important. We see it quite a few times throughout the series and just this episode in particular. And they're going there because Eric, a member of the community, has recently disappeared around that area. And they want to go find Eric's drugs because they can use them and sell them. And mm-hmm. they are convinced that the drugs are somewhere near the caves. I don't really know. Do we know how they knew that?
They just knew, like, he had his stash. I think Bartosz, throughout the episode, again, kind of shows that he's not the most trustworthy person. I mean, he had somewhat of information that Eric, you know, kept his drugs in the armchair by the cave, mm-hmm. the armchair, and he, you know, had no problem of coming up with the idea as soon as he was pretty much missing or what they thought dead. So, yeah. You know, he didn't even let the body be found or, you know, cold yet.
So. Yeah, they just know. So he's been, so Eric, the redheaded kid that we see a couple times, he's the one who goes missing. We see pictures of him and missing posters as well. And he's been missing for 13 days now, so just under 2 weeks.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, you know, Jonas is at the cave with all the other people. But the other thing, you know, is Ulrich's the police officer. Mm-hmm. And Katarina is the principal of the high school.
Yes, and they are, for everybody trying to keep track of the family relations, so they are the parents of Mikkel, Martha, and Magnus. They at least named all their kids with M names, so it's a little bit easier to remember who their kids are.
Yeah, kind of. but yeah, that's the Nielsens, yeah. And then with Hannah, we know Hannah is currently in a somewhat love triangle with Katarina and Ulrich.
Yes.
Right at the beginning, when the power's out for some reason, and that seems to be a normal thing, the power being out mm-hmm. In this community, it doesn't really shake them too much. It's almost just like, oh my God, change, you know, the power's out again. They're sleeping together at the beginning. And then Ulrich gets dressed to go back, you know, to his family. As they're leaving, Ulrich says, I love you to Hannah. Hannah says, I love you to Ulrich. Ulrich says, you're beautiful. Doesn't say, I love you back.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. Just, well,
that's
just
his way of expressing emotion, I guess.
Yeah. And, yeah, we'll find out more about them as they go. But, yeah, Hannah kind of just thinks that Jonas makes up a lot of his, you know, kind of issues when he yells up about the milk. Things mm-hmm. like that. So you get a little preview into their relationship a little bit and her view on Jonas too.
Yeah, what's interesting about this show, you know, I've talked a lot about how I make character charts, is that, you know, not only do we have the kind of family, you know, parent to child relationships in this show, but we also have the love relationships as well. So we have a lot of connect, you know, we have Jonas, Bartosz, and Martha with that love triangle. We've got Katarina, Ulrich, and Hannah. And you know, if you kind of connect the dots on that, like if Martha and Jonas had a relationship and Hannah and Ulrich have a relationship, you get this kind of weird circle of like the parents are dating and the kids are dating.
Yep. And it's, and then there's, you know, the whole thing with the every 33 years that's brought up later too. So it's just, yeah, there's a lot of cycles and a lot of loops and a lot of secrets.
Yes, which is why this episode is called Secrets. So, you know, when we get to the cave, I think this is really kind of the important scene in the episode. Obviously, it drives all the story. So we've heard about Eric, who's been missing. And we then have kind of a thunderstorm start. And all of a sudden, everybody hears something out of the cave. And everybody runs away. Everybody scatters. And when they come back together, they realize Mikkel, who is Magnus and Martha's little brother, he's the one who dresses in the skeleton costume, he's missing now. Mm-hmm. and nobody knows where he is. We have all of these kids together. All of a sudden, all of their parents receive phone calls at the same time. And
that's a great scene.
Towards the end of the episode, the parents come and reunite with the kids, which is another good way to help reinforce who's in what family. If you're watching this for the first time, you see the kids hug their parents. And Ulrich goes, runs into the woods and tries to find Mikkel and is unsuccessful.
Yep.
So now this town of Winden is facing its second missing child in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And not the first missing child also in like this,
in this town. City.
Yeah. In this town, it seemed to have happened, with, you know, his Ulrich's brother. He also says, you know, when it's brought up, that has nothing to do with his brother, but there seems to be, I believe, some hints about his brother being taken in Mother's Day in 1986, I think they said.
Yeah, and we just get a little tease to that, and we don't quite know.
He quickly shuts it down and said, nothing to do with my brother.
Yep, exactly.
But they find a body at the end.
Yes. Anything else on kind of Jonas's story? You know, I think that's the extent of it. You know, Jonas will be one of the main characters that we follow throughout this series. I don't think that is a spoiler to say that. I pointed out in the first podcast that we did how much that color yellow is prevalent throughout this series. And we see Jonas, much like the little kid at the beginning of It, wearing a bright yellow raincoat.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
And this show, you know, with the colors in this show, it's really great the way that they use it. It looks really unique because the show itself, it's called Dark, and the show is a very dark and muted in terms of color palette show. But the one bright color that we see outside of Eric's red hair is that color yellow, and you really see yellow quite a bit, and it pops off the screen.
Yeah, and Mikkel is wearing a red jacket, I believe, in the scene where he's taken.
Oh, is he? I didn't even notice
that. Yeah, I believe so. I believe that's what I was kind of looking for that, and I noticed that they were standing on total opposite ends of the group. So Jonas was on the one side in yellow, while Mikkel was on the other side in red. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure the cups he used also on his Houdini trick were red and yellow, as well as the piece being a yellow piece, but maybe that was red. But again, just like
Eric's hair, Eric, the kid who gets taken, he's the only one with bright red hair. Everybody else has got either blonde hair or dark hair.
Exactly. And so,
and he's in a bright, colorful room as well. When we do see Eric, we're not sure where he is. He looks like it's something like straight out of, if you watch the OA, it almost looks like that, where it's this chair with, we see
Old Boy a lot too. You see the door has like, it's like that prison style door. You can slip the like plate of food through. There's even a plate of food in like a glass at the base of the door. Like, Eric's terrified. He's just facing the wall, just curled up. I don't think that's a very fun room, I have a feeling, for Eric.
No, but it does. It has like the bright blue wallpaper.
Yeah.
Definitely. We don't know much about Eric. We know Eric is taken. We see his father is at the police station yelling at the police because they haven't found his kid yet. And that's kind of how we're introduced to the two police officers that we follow throughout this show. So one is Ulrich, who we saw earlier. And the other is I don't know if is she the police chief? She's a higher up police officer.
Detective or something.
Yeah. And that is
Charlotte.
Charlotte. Yes. Thank you. I wanted to say that. Yes. So, you know, we don't know much about Charlotte. We know she is a police chief. She's getting questioned at the big parents assembly at the end of the episode. And she seems to have a connection to this older man who's got kind of like a cauliflower ear. And we find out his name is Helge, but we don't know much else about him. He keeps talking about how it's happening again. And then he says it's too late after we do hear that big thunderstorm happen. But we're not quite sure how she knows Helge, but they definitely have some sort of, they have some sort of connection.
Yeah. And, he bursts into a PTA meeting at the end or whatever, the parent and, you know, the parents and the principal Katarina talking about Eric. And then we kind of get to see the different motivations. Some people are really panicked. Other people want the place just kind of reopen and be like, I just ran away and my business is hurting. Like, I can't have another, you know, there's just.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. The way people are reacting to a crisis.
Yeah. I can't imagine thinking about it with anything else, but
right.
The other thing is that Charlotte, we see from a picture, is married to Peter, the therapist of Jonas. So the yes. therapist of her partner is treating the partner, you know, somebody who's also connected to the partner in a way because he's having an affair, her son. Like, there's just all these loops within loops within loops you can notice. And just like, it's just kind of interesting that everybody kind of has very important positions of knowing other people's secrets.
That's true. Yeah. And, you know, we don't know, you know, we see the parents, we don't see Peter go and meet back up with the kids. And when Peter talks to Charlotte at the end of the episode, you know, to me, he seems like he's acting a little suspicious. And you know, talk about secrets. I feel like there's something going on with him.
Yeah, I definitely think there's something going on, and you know, I'll save some observations for when I can talk about it.
Yes, it is a tightrope that we have to walk with some of this.
Yeah, I'm not good at walking this tightrope.
So no. So let's see. So you know, we talked about the Nielsens. Katarina, as we said, is the principal at the high school. She does find a long strand of hair on Ulrich's sweatshirt that he was wearing that morning, and also smells his sweatshirt, and I would assume can smell that it smells like perfume or, you know, somebody that is not Ulrich. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what she can discover about Ulrich's extramarital activities.
Yep.
So, and we've got Magnus, which we don't really find out much about Magnus. He seems interested in this nerdy girl, Francisca, and they share a joint outside of the school together. Mm-hmm. And he's the one, I guess, was it Bartos's idea? It was Bartos who wants to go find the drugs, right? But Magnus kind of tags along.
As soon as they mention it, and then he tags along and brings his sister, Marta, which, you know, and we don't really learn too much about them. Like, Marta's kind of very I think she's on a hunger strike because children are missing or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's something with children. So something with child welfare is concerning her at the beginning of the episode. And I'm sure by the end of the episode, she's worried about her brother.
So, right.
You know, kind of interesting. And then Mikhail, you know, he's just like, they're a pretty normal family for the most part. Older brother slaps the little brother around. Like, there's nothing. Yeah. Nothing too crazy.
No, I feel like the relationships between those siblings, it kind of reminds me of like E.T., where E.T. had an older brother. Like, I don't know. There are parts of this show that remind me of E.T., especially this opening episode.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think, and this is a good time to kind of mention, like, this opening episode, you know, you get introduced to a lot of different genres watching this, right? Like, we get, you know, Mikkel is dressed as a skeleton. It's not Halloween, but it definitely has like a Halloween feel to it. There's Magnus puts the flashlight to his face and acts like a ghost. And I think we get mentions of ghosts and monsters and, you know, especially this episode, I could see why people would say, oh, this is German Stranger Things and a kid goes missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see the surface. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So then a couple other characters that we meet, you know, we do see Katarina, or not Katarina, we do see Hannah going to the nuclear power plant and giving a massage to a man. I don't believe we get this man's name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think we did.
So, but what we do know about this man is that he has some big wound or scar or bruise on the back of him. And Hannah points out that the bruises can actually tell the future and they know when it's going to start raining. And so she knows there's going to be a big storm coming. Mm-hmm. So, and I noticed some yellow in that as well. The massage table has like a border of yellow right around his face, like bright yellow. So that yellow pops out. All right. So some of the other families that we have to talk about, you know, so we talked about the Dopplers. That is Charlotte and Peter. Her daughter is Francisca. Mm-hmm. So, we meet Francisca. And then the last family is Bartos's family. So we meet Bartos and Regina.
That's the Tiedemanns.
Yes, and they are the Tiedemanns. So Regina is, she works at seemingly the only hotel in the city. And that hotel is starting to have financial problems because people don't want to visit Winden because kids have started going missing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and one thing that she brought up is like that Wyndon has like the lowest crime rate. Mm. She brought that up like when they were yelling, when she was yelling about how they need to reopen, that there'd never be like a murderer or a horrible kidnapper here because Wyndon has the lowest crime rate of any town or village, city in Germany, I think she says. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And she seems very irritated when she's in the hotel talking to the bank, and seems very upset about something, which I guess is probably just that, you know, that her hotel isn't making any money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
probably.
And you know, we don't learn too much more about Bartosz except that he's good friends with Jonas and is now in a relationship with Martha.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of what each family, what happens with each family. So, you know, we're watching the events of a day. We are dealing with the disappearance of Eric leading to the disappearance of Mikkel and then the discovery of a body at the end of the episode, which we is an unidentified body. But we do see that body has a Walkman that is still running. Mm-hmm. So some good batteries in that Walkman, apparently.
Yeah, no kidding.
And the kid was wearing Jordans as well.
Not Jordans, but Air Force.
Oh, really? I thought those were Jordans. Those looked like the black and red Jordans.
I don't know. Sneakerheads.
But, yeah, we'll have to get one of them.
Nikes, red and blue Nikes.
Mm-hmm. So, and then we also, you know, during that rainstorm I mentioned earlier, we see Innes, who is an older woman with a mole on her lip. That's how I can always identify her. Yeah. And she is Michael's mother. And she is opening his suicide letter that said not to open it until, you know, 10 something p.m. on the night that we're watching.
Yep.
So we do not know what that says, but she puts it back into a box and she looks really upset by it, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, lots of people upset, lots of tragedy in the city. But, you know, I think I remember when I first watched this episode, I don't know if you can think back, but I remember I was like very confused by everything because, you know, especially the first time I was like, well, who is this person? And how are they connected? Cause there's so many different families that are all connected. So hopefully us going through that character by character helps at least give you kind of a framework for what we're looking at.
Yeah, definitely.
So, anything else you want to talk about from like a non-spoiler perspective of this episode?
No, there's nothing else non-spoiler I want to talk about.
Yeah. All right. All right. Great. So at this point, if you've only watched the first episode of Dark, hopefully you enjoyed it. You should probably turn this podcast off and then continue watching Dark. I know we here at Digesting Dark say, take your time with Dark, but you know, once you do finish Dark, come back and listen to these. We'll do episode by episode breakdowns from a full seeing every episode spoiler viewpoint. And we would love to have you back. If you do have questions as you're watching Dark for the first time, you can definitely send them to us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @BrooksZA. And Aaron, is yours Aaron J. Brooks?
Nope, Aaron J. Brooks, J-A-Y. Okay.
So. Aaron J A Y Brooks. So, and we'd be happy to answer them with like, you know, if you let us know what episode you're up to, we can answer some of those questions based on what you should know. Sometimes there are things that you're not supposed to know yet. So there are things that are confusing, but this show is like a puzzle and the pieces start getting added.
Yep. So.
All right. Thank you, non-spoiled people, for joining us and good luck on your journey watching Dark. I'm kind of jealous that you get to watch it for the first time.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Yeah. All right, 3, 2, 1. All right, now we can talk about all the spoilers that happen. So right. Let's. What is the number one thing you want to talk about?
So just I guess I was just like watching this episode very closely. I would pause and make a lot of notes. So obviously it starts with the Einstein quote, which I thought was definitely very interesting and telling. But it then shows the bunker. Mm-hmm. That we go to learn about. It shows it with the guns. It shows it with the gas mask in it and the grenades in it.
So that's the future bunker, right? Yeah. That's where we end up at the end of the season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it shows like one of the last shots of the season right away, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes over that character chart. And I noticed kind of a lot of different things about the character chart. One of which is that there's quite a few people who only had two pictures, while a lot of people had three.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
So I don't know if that was just withholding a little bit of identity for As It Goes, maybe?
I think so, because I think it didn't show, like, certain people. I mean, obviously isn't going to show young Michael, because then that would spoil that.
It couldn't show old Magnus, because that's a casting thing. So, like,
oh yeah,
they only had like one picture of Magnus.
Old Magnus looks like Jeff Daniels. Like, that's when I see old Magnus, I'm like, that definitely could have been Jeff Daniels.
But so that may be, and then like I noticed some of them went left to right, youngest to oldest, and then I noticed a few, like Hannah went in reverse from old to young on the other. So I don't know what that really says, but.
Well, we do know that Hannah, you know, when we get to, so again, everybody, like we're about to say some big spoilers. So Hannah, at the end of season two, she is back in the 50s and she stays in the 50s.
Yeah.
So older Hannah does come before younger Hannah, because she's there before her younger self has been born.
Yeah, well, even for Enos, it shows all three of her pictures in reverse order.
Mm.
So, like, that may just be the aesthetics of how the map looked. What nice.
Do we see young? Do we see young Enos in the 50s? I'm assuming we do, right? I'm trying to.
Yeah,
remember.
Yeah, we see her go into HG's clock workshop when older kids in there.
Mm.
Remember when he first shows up and
yeah.
But do you know who was narrating at the beginning?
No, I don't think I still don't think we know. I mean, I assume it's Jonas or Adam. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then it shows Jonas when it says everyone's connected.
Mm-hmm.
It shows Jonas and it, like, studies at it. And the guy at the very top of the character map, I believe, is HG.
Oh, well, you know, so it's what's interesting about HG, I was thinking about this. I think because. He's kind of the grandfather of all this, right? Like, he creates this the time travel machine,
after
which
Claudia brings the blueprint,
right? Which I mean, that's all part of a cycle as well, which we don't really know where that starts. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of like, I know he is Charlotte's adopted grandfather. Like, it's not her actual grandfather, but he kind of is, because he creates time travel, which allows Elizabeth, Charlotte's daughter, to become Charlotte's mother.
Right. So he's like Father Time.
Right. So he's like, if H.G. Tenenbaum didn't exist, then Charlotte would never have had a daughter to become her mother. Like, that's where, like, your brain starts melting when you
and
think about
so
this.
So many of those, like, daughters becoming mothers, sons becoming fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's their own, like, grandpa.
Right. And everything in the show, it's a circle, so there's no beginning. Like, you know, with a lot of these, we don't know where, you know, there never was a beginning, because, you know, it's all a paradox, basically. Yeah,
it's three infinities combined into one infinity.
Right. That's true. Yeah. You said three earlier. Like,
it's just like infinity cubed,
mm-hmm.
which is just impossible to understand.
No, it that's why you have to watch the show so many times, because you catch
things.
It's
impossible to explain, it's impossible to understand, I think.
Yeah.
Like, that's why, like, you know, later on in season two, when they show the black mass and it's solid, gas, liquid, past, present, future, all at the same time.
Mm.
It's what this show is.
Yeah.
Exactly what this show is.
And when we're introduced to Francisca, she's talking about a black hole.
Yeah, exactly. She's talking about it in her entire speech there. I'm just going to go through a few other. Yeah, I think that town, he was right at the top alone. It was HG, which I believe townhouse or townhouser.
I think it's Tenenbaum, isn't it?
Is it Tenenbaum? I'll look it up here as he gets more.
I think the thing we really have to talk about too, that we have not even talked about yet, is that. Okay. You know, Jonas's father, we open with Jonas's father, Michael, killing himself. And all of course, that is actually Mikkel, grown up.
Right.
And Mikkel, when he disappears at the end of the episode, he goes back to the 1980s, stays there, and becomes Michael, marries Hannah, and fathers Jonas. So, you know, Jonas is all the interactions between Jonas and Mikkel, to me, are like fascinating to watch, because Jonas is with his father, and neither of them know that they're with.
Hannah's sleeping with Ulrich, who Ulrich's son is Mikkel,
who becomes Michael, right?
Married to Michael. There's
And Jonas and Martha have a relationship in the past, which, you know, of course, we know that Jonas, you know, an older version of Jonas is going to go back to the day before Michael kills himself and break up with Hannah, or with break up with Martha.
Yeah.
You know, knowing all of that happened before, like a couple of days before.
Yeah. And he still goes through with it. I think a huge part of this is like the curse of love.
Right.
Huge crux of this show. It's like, I think the only way that this is a little bit of, I have a different view of the show after watching, I'll be honest, Devs, because there's a lot of very similar, like, determinism, free will type of discussions and like yearnings from the main characters. And I think this is one of the few ways Jonas can still feel he has free will is by, you know, we'll talk about when we get there too, but making out with Martha. It's like, why did you make out with Martha? It was the only way Jonas could know, I think, he still has free will. Because it fucks everything up.
Right.
But if he doesn't do that, then everything's determined. And he has no choice. This is like the only way he has a choice is by completely screwing everything up.
But he's still cursed. You said curse of love. I think it's that it's kind of the curse of fate, right? Like this always has to happen. Like, Mikkel always has to go back and become Michael because then he has Jonas as a son. And Jonas always has to go back and end things with Martha.
But he always chooses to not.
Right.
But he always chooses to also.
Yeah. He still makes it happen. I mean, and it will be interesting when we revisit that episode, because I'm a little cloudy on exactly what happens in that particular episode in season two when we see Jonas go back the day before. But he's going back to convince his father. Is it that he goes back and convinces Michael to kill himself? Is that what it is?
I think he's just like going back to like take Michael out of the situation. But if we don't remember, let's remember as like, you know, we're rewatching then.
Yeah.
We can, I guess, move on. The pictures is another thing I like super focused on. So when Michael hangs himself, they show the picture of his family and everybody is cheesing in it except Michael. He's looking like directly ahead, like he knows what's coming and it's horrible. And like, and then moving ahead, when they show the Doppler picture, Charlotte and her two daughters, Francesca, and I forgot the other one.
Elizabeth. Elizabeth is her. So it's interesting also. So I'll put a pin in that. But yeah, there's something about Elizabeth I want to bring up too.
Yeah, there's a ton about Elizabeth that I think is going to be interesting. You know, but, you know, they show them and it looks like a similar type of picture. And Peter is staring dead ahead. Like, he knows what's coming and like he's horrified and like he's like, so, you know, and then they show later on, Hannah has the picture hung up of them and it's ripped Enos out of the picture.
Right. Yep. And that was when I saw that, I was trying to remember if it's revealed in this episode or not, how Enos is connected to them. And it was revealed because in talking about the number three, Hannah does say to Enos that Jonas hasn't seen you in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And so... Yeah, though I'm trying to see if there's any other examples of pictures here that I noticed. But
did we get one for Regina's family for the Tiedemanns?
Not that I noted. So yeah.
We really don't get much about the Tiedemanns for a while because you know, of course, Regina's husband is Alexander, right. who goes by the name Boris, I believe, or his original name is Boris. I think he goes by Boris, right?
Alexander Kohler was his original name.
Okay. We still don't know much about him.
It's going to be a huge reveal.
Yeah. And
don't know why he got shot and why he was running away.
Right, exactly. And why he assumes the identity of somebody else. We also, you know, we have Claudia, who's Regina's mother, who we don't even see at all in this episode, but is a pivotal player in this show. She, you know, is younger in the 80s, but then we have the White Devil version of Claudia, who is basically like a time travel master and is traveling all over the place. And we meet her later on in the show, but we don't know much about her.
Right. And she is kind of, so far, at least for a lot of the show, seemed to be framed as a hero. And I'm really cautious of these characters who are framed as heroes. Like,
well, she did kill her father.
Right.
So, sure. Or she lets her father die. But you know, that's another one where it's, it's the curse of, she knows the future. It's the curse of fate. So she knows her father has to die that night. And she's trying to protect him. And then when he dies, she realizes this is what has to happen in order for fate. So, you know, it's another character who's cursed by fate.
Exactly.
And going back to Charlotte. So, you know, we talked a little bit about Elizabeth, so Elizabeth is her deaf daughter. And we also don't see Elizabeth at all in this episode.
No, we don't hear from her either.
We don't even know that Francisca has a sister. But of course, Elizabeth is going to play a big role in season two, because we're going to see her as like a resistance fighter in the future. And it's going to turn out that the future version of Elizabeth is going to end up being in a relationship with Noah and being Charlotte's parents.
Yeah, exactly. And just one more picture. They go back to the Cronwalds one more time, I believe, and they show the picture of them all frowning at that point. And I think that was after Enis had read the letter, if I'm not mistaken. I believe they show the picture in Enis's house, the same, and now they're all frowning. So by reading that letter, and I'm not going to even try to remember what's in the letter till we get to that episode right now.
Well, isn't the letter just Michael telling Enis that he was Mikkel?
Yeah. So, but like that changes everything for Enis now. So that's like, again, adding another unnatural component to this, which just further screws up and gets things twisted, I think, which is why it changes the picture to now all of them frowning, because now all of the fates of the Cronwalds have been changed by Michael revealing his secret of,
so you think that actually changed the picture changed?
Yeah,
interesting, because I didn't think anything could change in this show.
Well, I think that the picture was always that frowning once she read that letter.
But she doesn't read the letter until 2019.
I know, but that's like the thing is like it was. They'll maybe be able to explain it better. Yeah. But I think that picture was always. I think that picture is always what it shows it is, but it changes once things have changed the fate of the characters, when she reads the letter at that time.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll have to see. I don't remember when they reveal what's in that letter. It might be episode 3 when we find out.
Yeah, because if she would have read that letter before that time, it wouldn't have she wouldn't have been able to read the letter, and that wouldn't have happened.
Right. Well, because the letter says, the letter says do not open until 10 p.m. on this date.
Right, and Jonas tries to change that later on by burning it, but it still shows up. Like, you can't change fate. And she was always going to read the letter on November 4th at that time, but she still was never meant to know that, because he was never meant to be Michael Mikkel, because he was never meant to go back, but he did, and then it changes all time.
Oh, interesting.
Like,
thought it was always what was supposed to happen.
Yet all this I agree, but it's also none of this is supposed to happen.
So who's influencing everything? Adam or Noah or House?
I think if I had a theory going into rewatch episode through one episode of my rewatch, and my theory, I think HC Townhouse or whatever HG is responsible.
Interesting. It is Tannhaus too, at least on my notes or my character chart, it says Tannhaus.
Yeah. He's responsible. I think he wrote the book. He's Father Time.
Yeah, I think he's going to play a pivotal role. I am curious, you know, at the end of season 2, we see alternate universe Martha show up and grab Jonas after Martha is killed in front of him. Yeah. And I don't know what that's going to mean. I feel like I'm like a little skeptical about alternate universe, because it's already so confusing with all the time travel that like now we're just going to throw like, I'm sure the show does everything else well, so I'm sure it'll be good, but I don't know how you throw a twist like there's an alternate universe in there with only like a handful of episodes to go and make it make sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but that's why I didn't write this show. I don't really let myself get to those kind of thoughts with this show. I just implicitly do really trust them.
And yeah.
the more they add, the more of an explanation I think we'll get. I don't think this is a show that's going to absolutely leave us in the complete dark by the end of it.
No, I don't think so. I just that's just a thought that I haven't been able to say for a podcast and a half because we've been in unspoiled territory. But like, you know, the big twist at the end of season two is that there is some other universe.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, when we were talking, just to jump around a little more here, mm-hmm. When we were talking about in our intro podcast, I said that one of the reasons I really like this show is that it's, you know, German, it doesn't rely on referential. I was way off here.
Yeah.
It references so much. It references the Matrix. It references like Back to the Future. It references all these references.
Definitely E.T. I mean, the kids riding their bikes is a lot like E.T. with a visitor. I mean, we see the stranger. He's a, you know, the stranger could be like a stand-in for E.T. where we have like this visitor. The stranger hides out in Hannah's house. I think that's more in season two, which the stranger is obviously like future Jonas. But it almost is like E.T. in that aspect as well.
Yeah, and like, you know, I think that, you know, the room reminded me of Old Boy. It really did remind
me. Oh, interesting. It just reminds me so much of the OA.
Yeah, the OA is another one of my favorite shows.
But they were made at the same time. I don't think it's referencing the OA. They were made at the same time. One thing about the Matrix, so I forgot that quote is in there about the Matrix, and it seems pretty pointed. Do you think it's just a red herring where they talk about a simulation? I mean,
I think that may be an intro into season three. We've seen the parallel worlds. We may see more of the idea of the simulation coming in, the Matrix idea coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's very pointed.
I think we're getting thrown another huge. Yeah, I mean, he says that he suggests a simulation. Martha, meanwhile, thinks it's a message from the other side. And there's a lot of, you know,
there's a lot of ghost stuff later in this episode too, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that I think that might just be to kind of throw people off as they're starting to watch this show. I'm not sure if that actually has any significance.
Yeah, is there any other references to simulations as we go on? I guess I'm going to make note of that as I watch and see if there's any maybe mentions or possibilities of that. Yeah. Another just wild thing I think with HG, I think that he may be Mikkel from another world. I don't know. I think he may be Mikkel.
Interesting.
Or grown up Mads.
Yeah, I feel like Magnus also, like for being such a big character, we don't really ever get much about Magnus in this show.
We get a little more about him in season two. Him and Francesca are older and together and appear to be.
And they're in the cult of Adam, but that's all we know about him. I mean, for being one of the main characters, one of the first characters we meet, I don't think we really get a ton about him. One thing, you know, you talked about Back to the Future, and obviously Back to the Future is my like favorite movie. Yes, it's my favorite. So I don't know why I had to think about that. But, you know, we get so much of like the young version of the father interacting with the son in this, which is like George McFly and Marty McFly interacting. And one of my favorite parts that I caught this time that I'd not caught the first time I watched it is Jonas in front of his father, in front of Mikkel, says, "My father always used to say good and evil are a matter of perspective." So that's like that phrase, Mikkel learned that phrase from Jonas and then teaches it to Jonas once he grows up.
Yeah.
Which is, George McFly has something like that actually in Back to the Future, where Marty says to George McFly a phrase that his father always used to tell him. He says, you know, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. Then at the end of Back to the Future, George tells Marty, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. So George learned that from Marty.
Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, there are homages to so many. I was so off when I said that.
Yeah. You talked about Mikkel's magic trick in the first episode. And I watched it, and I still didn't really see much significance besides him saying it's not what I did, it's when I did.
Yeah, I still can't figure out why what that's supposed to be telling me about the show.
Oh, okay. I thought you had picked up something significant.
No, I keep watching it. I keep trying to see like what we can. No, I don't know what that's telling me.
And right before that, Martha says, "Are we sure Mikkel's not adopted?" Which was a very interesting line, knowing that Mikkel will be adopted in a few episodes.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Another thing is when Mikkel disappears, Ulrich and Hannah are making out at the school.
Yes.
So, you know, I just, like, it's just a, you know, kind of a theme of Ulrich not being a very good guy.
Right. That's true. But he's a good guy in some, you know, he's like one of the more complex characters on this show because he's not a good guy, especially early on, but he really is. And he turns into more of a hero later on. And I really love the story that we see Ulrich take where he goes back and he's going to try to find Mikkel and then he will end up getting stuck in the past and having that relationship with Egon as well.
Yeah.
Or not really a relationship, but rivalry, yeah. I guess.
And this isn't really a pop culture reference, but did you notice that Peter was doing the Serenity Prayer?
Yes, I did. And
that's about.
I'm not sure. I know Peter is. So is it that Peter is gay? Is that the secret? I can't remember exactly what his secret is.
Well, he's in love with a trans.
With Bernadette.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that her name?
Yeah. And she's Waller's sister, I believe. Waller, the one-eyed cop.
Yeah, which, again, Waller, we don't know much about.
No, but I did notice that the bandage on his eye looked new in this episode. Maybe I'm not sure if that was right, but...
could have just been a costume.
Yeah, because we still don't know how Waller loses his eye. Of course, in season two, we get lots of teases to Waller losing his eye, but we never find out.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I'm trying to see if there's...
So we see Mads at the end. The kid at the end of the episode is Mads. I'm curious. I would guess most people who are watching the first time don't pick that up.
No, but he is wearing the same shirt and everything from that picture.
Right. I mean, if you're really paying attention, I mean, the Walkman and those shoes are like straight out of the 80s. The Walkman, they even zoom in on, and then you're taken back to that TV, which is in the bunker. So, yeah, I mean, you're definitely supposed to connect it to, like, the past.
And you know this song or who this song's by? Have you looked that up?
The song that's playing in at the end? Because I know You Spin Me Right Round, Baby, Right Round is playing earlier, that. Which is, like, that's very on the nose. But
Which I wrote down the lyrics to the song, and it's, then awaken from a dream, but a blink of an eye, and then returns the night. Somewhere the future starts, somewhere in time. I won't wait for it. Love is created through bravery, so don't think twice. As we ride in the fiery wheel towards the future of the night. It's like that was sung right. It was like Jonas wrote that song.
Oh, interesting. But that's a real song too.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've never heard it before.
And they show that weird video on there, and then Eric's being tied up by Jonas, that the stranger. That we see it's the stranger, though. He's wearing the green hood.
Was it Joe? I thought it was who is it that ends up stealing the kids? I thought it was Helge and
it is Helge. You're right.
Helge and somebody else that he's working with. I don't remember who.
Yep.
Helge and somebody else are the ones who are behind the stealing the kids. It's not. They want you to think it's the stranger, but it's not.
Yeah.
At least maybe I'm wrong, but I'm almost positive that's not right.
Okay. Yeah, so, no, you're right.
Because that's what Helge has done. You know, we see Helge throughout the series, and we see young Helge, and he's responsible for, I think he might be working with Noah, I believe, to take the kids.
Yeah, so, you're right.
Yeah, so we'll find out more about Mads. I mean, it's really interesting just the way that Mads and Mikkel both disappear 33 years apart, basically, and at the same spot, and they're so similar. I mean, we will meet Mads. I think you even called Mikkel Mags. Or Mads in the last episode, just because they are like very similar.
And like Helga says, it's going to happen again.
Right.
Also, Ulrich's mom—I forgot her name—but Ulrich's mom says this is all the same as it happened 33 years ago.
Right. And I was trying to remember much about Ulrich's mom. I guess we'll get more of her when we start getting stuff in the 80s. And I think it's the third.
She says everything is recreating itself from 33 years ago, like Mads.
And she found that wrapper for the chocolate bar that Mads liked because she's also seems like is exploring near the caves. And I mean, it's obviously like a 1980s wrapper. So, you know, just another thing to clue you in about that.
Just like a little note about how small Winden is.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about how there's only 23 when they're talking about the tire tracks, the truck tracks that led to Eric.
Right.
They talk about how there's only 23,000 registered vehicles in New England, which is
very much. I mean, that explains why everybody's connected.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and
I do hope that this is not a simulation. I think that would be just a real letdown if that's what the twist is. So, but it's interesting to talk about.
I can't really see how that could come into effect.
Yeah, the only thing I think of is if Winden is just in this bubble that, you know, it's not a simulation, but it's its own bubble, and all of this stuff is happening within, like, some greater world or something. Because people don't really leave Winden. And that's one of the things that we notice throughout is, like, people don't really leave or come into Winden. Very few do, at least.
Yeah.
And even... Regina is kind of like against the idea of like the media coming into their small town, and
they're able to keep it a secret that there's a child missing.
Right. And Regina, when we see her in the hotel and she's so upset, what I referenced earlier, I said, oh, she's really upset about something. Maybe it's just that she doesn't have any money. No, she's upset that she just got a cancer diagnosis.
Right. Yeah.
So, which we'll see, you know, we'll see her go through that. And she also, you know, at this point seemingly has a really bad relationship with her mother. Mm-hmm. So, so lots of characters still to meet in this, lots of connections.
That's pretty much the notes I have from this first episode. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like the pilot is like the first two or three episodes. It feels like part one. There's just so many like things to decipher in the first few episodes before you really get into what this show's about. Because I don't think this first episode really completely clues you into what you're getting into.
No, because you could watch this first episode, and especially if you aren't really paying attention to the early stuff about time loops, you know, you could just think, and you don't know anything about this show, you could just think it's going to be like a
procedural missing chunk.
Right. It reminded me of The Killing. I don't know if you watched The Killing on AMC, but the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, this is like, all right, there's a missing kid, and we're going to find out like where this missing kid went.
Yeah. I think that, exactly. I think a lot of people I've talked to, even maybe myself, I wasn't sold after the first episode.
No, it was not until, I liked it, but it wasn't until the Michael reveal that I was like, oh my God, I love this show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not the pilot, but I think when I look back at a lot of great shows here that I like, not very many of them am I thinking about the pilot too much. I mean, Game of Thrones, the pilot was fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, it was when it got to Ned Stark that I really realized it was a show.
And the great thing about the Michael connection is the, like, rewatching it. And just how well they set it up, but they set it up that you would, I mean, it's like, it's, I don't think there's anybody who could predict it without knowing it.
That's like what I'm looking forward to is what they've set up from the beginning that we're not picking up on.
Right.
By the end of the third season, we're going to see everywhere. I can't wait for my rewatch after the show's over.
Yeah. And that's why I think like mentioning of simulation in episode one, like that's just like too sloppy for setting it up. Like the way they
Doesn't
set up Michael
bring
Michael.
Up the Matrix in season two also.
I
think Jonah, but we'll see. I'm definitely keeping my eyes open for any possible mentions of simulation theory.
Yeah, these little details when they repeat that's where it will be really interesting to watch. Yeah.
If they do that, they'd have to do that in such a great way for it to work. Mm-hmm. And if that is the twist, I'm excited to see how they pull it off, because they'd really have to like pull off some story jujitsu here to make that.
Yeah, that's true. So,
and if that is the case, they've had that as the idea from the beginning. Whatever is coming here isn't something they've written over the last year.
No, this is a show they couldn't write. And that's why I think that's why the alternate universe thing is like feels a little off to me, because that feels like the kind of thing that a lot of other shows would be like, all right, we've explored time travel. Now we're going to explore alternate universes. And so it just feels out of left field, but I mean, I'm sure it's been baked in.
Yeah, it's so new. We just have learned about it.
I mean, I know we're told that Adam is grown up Jonas, but it's still like, it just doesn't quite connect yet for me. So there, you know, maybe we find out that Adam is alternate universe Jonas, or Adam is Bartos or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like the more explicitly you're told something, the less you should believe it with this show. So when they've made it so clear that that's other Jonas, I would probably think it's not.
Yeah. And we don't even get, we're not going to get Adam at all in season one. We barely get Noah in season one.
Yeah.
So, they do a good job of peeling off the onion. The next episode is called Lies. I'm trying to remember. I know it ends with Mikkel ending up in the 80s. We get that tease at the end of the episode. And I think the episode is just about them trying to find Mikkel and figure out what happened. I believe we're probably going to get more about Peter and where he was during the disturbance, Peter and Bernadette as well.
Yeah, I think it looks into Charlotte's investigation a little bit.
Yeah. We said we wanted to do like a something that we can keep score of, like who won the episode or something. Is there somebody who won the episode? Is there something we want to like track as we go along that we can like give points to?
I think that who won the episode, it would just be Ulrich. I would say won this episode just because he is the character I think you're going to be able to grasp onto early on in this show and allow you to kind of feel there's a character that kind of anchors you with the show. Ulrich and Jonas, I would say.
Yeah. So you'll give your MVP to Ulrich.
Yeah. I would give it to Ulrich though. I just think he's the most interesting. He's a character I know that I want to know the most about after the,
first like episode. After this first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think after this first episode without knowing where things go. I'll give it to Jonas, just because we open with Jonas. He looks like Eric Reichenbach from Survivor. That was always what I thought about him. I don't know. Do you even remember Eric from Survivor? He's the guy who gave away his immunity necklace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He does kind of look like him. I don't see it, actually. But, yeah I remember.
But, you know, he can't even make his own cereal in the morning. But, you know, I think that was like an interesting thing to watch with all of these characters as we're watching them in the present is like, they're so innocent here and they're about to like all go through this crazy journey of time travel. And, you know, none of them know what they're in store for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we'll find out more about where they're going. We'll start getting some teases into Mikkel in the '80s, but you know, that'll really be, I think the '80s is really in episode 3 where we get like most of that.
Yeah.
These first couple episodes are setting things up. I'm curious who are you interested in watching on this rewatch that kind of you didn't pay attention to as well the first couple times you've watched this show?
I guess, good question. Bartosz.
Bartosz. Okay.
Yeah. I think Bartosz is, not as dumb as he's thought to be. And, I think he screws up a lot more than he realizes.
Yeah. And we also don't know where future Bartosz is.
Yeah, exactly.
Is future Bartosz Adam? Is he Noah? Is he Alexander? I mean, he does kind of look like Alexander, who's his father. Like, could Bartosz end up being his own father?
Do we have that example yet of someone being their own father?
Not their own father. We have Elizabeth is her own grandmother, and we have Jonas is in love with his aunt.
We find that out at the end of season 2.
The Elizabeth thing?
Yeah.
That's like one of the things I'm like stuck in my brain from the end of season 2 because it was just so crazy to me.
Yeah. That was really nuts.
I mean, the fact I feel like, you know, I want to track Elizabeth through this as we go, but I think I actually want to track Charlotte because Charlotte is the child of Noah and Elizabeth. So Charlotte has got to be very important to this show.
Yeah.
So is connected to H.G. Tannhaus. So
I think really the Dopplers as a whole are very interesting. They've been the family that we know the least amount here of the four. And they probably will turn out to be the most important in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, because we've got Helge also as a Doppler. And his parents, I have on my character chart, Greta and Bernd as well. And I'm struggling to remember much about them. I think Greta and Agnes have a relationship, if I'm remember. Yeah. Oh, no, Agnes and Doris, I think, have a relationship, according to my character chart. We'll get more of them when we go further back.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, this podcast got immensely more fun when we were able to just talk freely about this show. I'm glad that is how we will be the rest of the way. It's fun to try to get new people to watch, but it's just very hard to talk about this show without, I'm so afraid of accidentally saying something. I was really afraid when we were talking earlier that I was going to call Michael Mikkel. I was going to be like, oh, Mikkel hung himself, or like, oh, and then we see Jonas talking to Michael and it's like, oh no, all right, I gotta make sure I don't say that. So
yeah, this is fun.
Yeah. All right. So, we will be back very soon with a discussion of episode 2. And hopefully you are enjoying following along with us on this journey. Of course, this podcast is called Digesting Dark. I might have called it Dissecting Dark a couple times in the episode yesterday. New podcast. I'm struggling to remember the name.
Yeah, we're doing our best.
Yes, this is Digesting Dark. We are hosted on anchor.fm, which is owned by Spotify. So if you're looking for a place to listen to this podcast, it's definitely on Spotify already. It will be on Apple and Google and some other platforms soon, but I know it takes a couple days and a couple episodes, so we're probably going to be like halfway through season one by the time it starts showing up on those other platforms. But Spotify is a very easy way to listen to us on there. Definitely subscribe, because we're going to be putting up a ton of episodes between now and June 27th. So,
definitely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. If you want to connect with us, we said our Twitter handles earlier, but at Brooks ZA is my Twitter handle. He's at Aaron J. Brooks on Twitter. I'll be posting these episodes out on there when they come out. And definitely let us know what you think leading into other episodes after you listen. You know, we'd love to start getting some questions and feedback as we get deeper along in this journey.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thanks everybody for listening, and we will see you for episode number 2, Lies.
See you guys.